Well, Boston Bruins, we need to talk. Yes. That President's Trophy winning Boston Bruins. Yeah. We need to talk. The Strictly Red Show begins right now. Good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Strictly Red Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford South Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, wherever you may be. However you may be listening to this show, thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon. I mean, here we are. It's August. And normally, and I do mean normally, we would be talking about baseball and the return of the NFL training camps. But in a year that has been anything but normal, I think it's time that we get a little bit on the weird side in terms of sports. But this week, I'm going to be blunt with you. I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood at all. And you, given the fact that I've had a whole week to really think about this, so the first segment of the show, I'm really going to lay into the Boston Bruins. Because I don't know about you, and I know a lot of Bruin fans are really angry right about now, between the events of Sunday and in the game on Wednesday, people are pissed. People are really pissed off, and rightfully so. And it doesn't make any things better when you see and you read about Tuukka Rask having to wait out 2 days because of a cough. Kudos to the NHL for taking proactive steps and measures to make sure that he didn't have COVID, which in fact he didn't, thankfully. But as for the Boston Bruins, it's time to pull the alarm. It's 100% time to pull the alarm. No question. The thing that bothers me now, when I really think about and I really reflect on the week that has been, it isn't just the fact that the Boston Bruins dropped 2 games. It wasn't just the fact that the Bruins lost the first 2 games of the round robin tournament, but it was an extension of a problem that I noticed that began going back to the game against Columbus. And this problem continued on through Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Flyers, and then not to mention their game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, if you go back to Philadelphia's game, and I want to start there, the thing that bothered me the most was it just seemed like that they came out with absolutely very little energy. If you go back to that first period and the way that they came out, especially against Philadelphia, in which that, by the way, they're looking more and more very dangerous. Very dangerous by every match that they play in this round robin so far. They just look like they had no energy. The first line was absolutely nowhere to be found. And that was the part that got me the most upset. But the other thing that really got me even more alarmed is that it looked like at times that they were not finishing their checks. The forechecking was an absolute mess. And then on top of that, whatever fight that they had, there was no fight to be had. After the Bruins had made it 2-1, it didn't even take long for Philadelphia to regain that 2-goal lead. And they just showed absolutely no will, no fight, no finish in their game whatsoever. And that in itself is the part that alarms me the most. Now, I want to switch gears and actually talk about Tampa Bay. This was the part that really got me the most angry. In the Tampa Bay game, they allowed the 2 goals in the first period. And then, oh, by the way, kudos to them finally finding the cojones and clawing their way back to tie the game at 2. But it didn't end there. With a minute 27 left in the third period, the Tyler Johnson goal, in which I gave the Lightning the 3-2 lead, and eventually the win, or turned out to be the winning goal, was due to a juicy rebound that Tuukka Rask should not have let that puck get so far out in front of him, in front of the crease like that. The loss is not on Tuukka Rask. That's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm ultimately going with this is this. The time for excuses is gone. The time for feeling sorry for themselves is gone. Crappy ice? No excuse. Every team in the bubble is played with crappy ice. Home ice advantage? Nobody's got home ice advantage. Heck, not even the Toronto Maple Leafs. Go ask them and their fans. Not even the Tampa Bay Lightning. No one's got home ice advantage. No one has really much of any advantage. But yet, somehow, someway, the Boston Bruins, in these last three games, going back to the exhibition game against Columbus, and in the two round robin games so far, against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay, they have looked absolutely dead. In the Tampa Bay game, I give them credit for being able to battle back, to be able to tie the game and so forth, and keep it a close game up until late in the third period. Great. Philadelphia, the game against the Flyers, you knew it was over once it got to 3-1. Let's be completely honest about that. And that was the part that's the most frustrating about it, is that Philadelphia's game, you saw that Philadelphia, the team itself, they are no joke. They are a legitimate team and a legitimate contender to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference. I'm telling you, I like the game that I saw from Travis Konechny. Kevin Hayes has turned out to be an absolute home run of a signing, of a free agent signing by the Philadelphia Flyers. I'll give them that. But as far as the Boston Bruins concerned, the energy and the defense, and as well as especially the goal scoring. The goal scoring was absolutely nowhere to be found. And that has been the common theme so far in the Bruins' return to play. Where is the offense? And I think it's something that is legitimately worth asking and even talking about. Because if you are the Boston Bruins right about now, if you are a Bruins fan, you cannot be possibly happy with what you've seen. You can't possibly think and feel even the slightest of confidence going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I 100% get it. I get that all these games don't count. The Bruins are already in the playoffs. Blah, blah, blah. I get all that stuff. But here's the problem. You talk about needing to turn up the intensity. And they needed to turn up the intensity on so many fronts. But ladies and gentlemen, where the hell is that? Where is the intensity? I haven't seen it in these three games. I don't want to hear about, well, these games don't matter. These games don't count. The Bruins are already in. Why should it matter? Because guess what? You go look at teams like Tampa Bay. Looks like they've already found their game. Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a dark horse to come out of the East to represent the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm going to be bold when you say that. Look like they've already found their game. But the Boston Bruins? What game have they found exactly up to this point? I like to know. Their speed. They look completely dead at times. Offense. What offense outside of the protection line? And Jake DeBrusk? Jake DeBrusk is beginning to piss me off, honestly. He really is beginning to piss me off because the lack of consistency offensively. We've seen it before the pause with Jake DeBrusk. He's a very streaky player. And if there's one guy in the Bruins lineup that cannot afford to be inconsistent and be streaky right now, that's DeBrusk. And I'm at a point now where I'm with Bruce Cassidy. Put him on the third line. And put him with Jack Sedmicka instead. Because it's getting to a point now, and we knew this going into the redemption point for the Boston Bruins. This isn't the time to try to find their games. Time is running out. You got one more game tomorrow against Washington. That's it. After that, this is for real. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin, and you have no wiggle room for any type of excuse. Every game matters now. You can't go into game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs and say, well, we're still trying to find our game. Time's running out, buddy. Time is running out. Because guess what? Now the pressure really is on. I only say this much. I'll give the Boston Bruins enough credit to the fact that they were able to find some sort of positivity in terms of their game on Wednesday against Tampa Bay, excuse me. But other than that, what exactly is there to find in terms of the positivity? I'll wait. I haven't been able to find it. What are you most concerned about, Bruins fans? Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. At Shukri Wright, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. What are you most concerned about? Is it the goaltending? Is it a secondary scoring? Is it the lack of energy that they've seemed to be starting out games with? Because here's the common factor in all three of these games. The opponent has scored the first goal. Columbus scored first in their exhibition game against the Boston Bruins. The Philadelphia Flyers scored first in their game against the Boston Bruins. And what do you know? The Tampa Bay Lightning scored first in their game against the Boston Bruins. So the question that I have for you is this. Bruin fans, hit me up on Twitter and be honest with me. What are you most worried about? Because now this is three games in. We get that these games, they're not meaningful except for the round-robin games that determine the seeding and so forth. Listen, the fact of the matter is this. If you're the Boston Bruins and you're Bruce Cassidy, what are you most concerned about at this point? Because time is now of the essence. I'm not worried about Bergeron, but I'm sure as hell worried about Marchand. I'm worried about Pastrnak. I'm worried about the other guys, especially the bottom six, in which that you've gotten absolutely nothing out of so far. Charlie Coyle right now is your third line center. But dare I say that it's only a matter of time before he becomes the number two center. Because Krejci has been absolutely invisible. What has been the big story with Krejci for years now, Bruin fans? Tell me. The story has been when there's the playoffs, Krejci will always show up. And that has been true. In 2011, that was the case when the Bills won the Cup. 2013, when the Bills got to the Cup Finals, that was the case. But last year, when the Bills got to the Cup Finals in 2019, against the St. Louis Blues, he wasn't invisible, but he wasn't that dominant force of yesteryear either. So the question that I have is this. At what point do you become worried about Krejci? Because Krejci has done absolutely nothing up to this point. He hasn't been a factor at all. And I look at the other guys in their lineup. I don't feel a whole lot of confidence, and I said this earlier in this segment in Jake the Bush right now. When he gets hot, you know, and I know, that he gets as hot as anyone in the NHL in terms of goal scoring.
The thing is, when he gets cold, he gets absolutely cold. And that's something that the Boston Bruins need in terms of him finding his consistency and being more consistent in the offensive game. If you remember, go back to the regular season that the Bruins, they were getting frustrated in terms of the Bruins' inability to be consistent offensively and not get into these long lulls offensively where he's not scoring. And it doesn't help that if you are the Boston Bruins, that you look up and down, especially up and down his lineup, and apart from the first line, and even the first line has had points where they've gone absolutely quiet, you need to be able to get offensive production from all four of your lines. And remember, that was the loud criticism from the Boston Bruins during last year's Stanley Cup playoff run, was that it was feast or famine. You were either going to get all your offensive production from your top line and nothing else from other parts. But last year was also the first year that I can remember in a long time in which that you were able to get something from your third line. And your third line in which that you had Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson at times carried you through the playoffs. And that in itself is something that I feel like the Bruins have really lacked at times this season. And boy, when I tell you that they will absolutely need it come time for the playoffs, they need offensive production from all four lines. Because you know and I know that it's going to be damn difficult to win a Stanley Cup with one line. You just can't. You're going to look at the other opponents in the East, the top opponents, Tampa Bay, they can roll all four lines. You can get scoring from all four lines. Washington, you can get offensive production from all four lines plus your blue line. Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, you can get production from not just your top line, but from all four lines as well. And plus the fact that they play with speed as well. And that's been a trait that Alain Vigneault has coached in his teams throughout his career. So if you're the Boston Bruins, you can't just rely on your perfection line and think that they have to carry the burden and that's that. Because it's not going to work. Coming up next, I want to have the opportunity to discuss an article that was written by Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub, in which he makes some very valid points in terms of the Boston Bruins. And I think some of the points are absolutely worth discussing, and I'm going to talk about it furthermore in detail with you. Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and as well as streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app.
I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom,
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school,
cutting and burning
clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them a chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad,
if it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Han pasado varios días y estoy enfermo de ti. Dime que me hiciste mal. De mi memoria yo no te puedo borrar. Tú me vas a castigar, le prometí te iba a olvidar. Seguir mintiendo, el tiempo está corriendo y no se puede parar. La soledad me sigue consumiendo, más te estoy extrañando, no lo puedo negar.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, wherever you may be, however you may be listening to the show. Always appreciate it. You can make this show part of your Saturday afternoon. Before I continue on, I just want to go over a couple of notes here in terms of the program. As always, you could listen to the show nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and as well as your computer on TuneInRadio.com, as well as WMFO.org globally. And as well, if you happen to miss the radio broadcast of this show, you can listen to it on demand as a podcast on iHeartRadio. Search the Shukri Writes podcast. It'll be there to listen on demand, and as well as you can listen to it on other podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and as well as Anchor as well. Now, to continue our Bruins coverage in regards to their recent lackluster play, the Boston Bruins enter a critical matchup tomorrow against the Washington Capitals. And before we touch on that briefly, I want to talk about an article that was written by Ty Addison of 98.5 The Sports Hub. And he does terrific work covering the team and as well as writing outstanding articles for 98.5thesportshub.com. And there's one thing that I want to start off with by talking about in terms of his article is that he makes mention here about the Bruins looking for that first full 60-minute effort. Before I even touch on that, now, he wrote this article on Thursday, and I want to touch on something here. You talked about the Bruins looking for that full 60-minute effort. And I'll be the first one to tell you is that the Bruins, you saw in the last game in which that they didn't play full 60 minutes. First period was lackluster, to say the least. And the second period, the Bruins did look better. You know, in the beginning of the third period, they look better as well. But they, you know, began to get back into bad habits as well. And allowing the Lightning to dominate the time of possession of the puck in the offensive zone. So it was definitely something that I've noticed early on, and especially halfway through the game, especially as we into the third period as well. So, with all of that being said, Ty Anderson wrote in the article, you can find it on 985thesportshub.com, in which that he wrote, quote, two games into the round robin for seeding, and with the top two seed now off the table, and three games into life in the Toronto bubble after 4 months away from game action, the Bruins are still on the hunt for a 60-minute effort. And Wednesday, even a 3-2 loss to the Lightning was significantly better and a step in the right direction. I agree. You did see that, and I mentioned that in the last segment, that you did see more of an effort from the Boston Bruins in terms of their ability to find their way back into the game, fight their way back into the game, in which that I thought that the Bruins really show fight. And you didn't see that in the first two games, the game against Columbus and the game against the Flyers. You didn't, although, like, yes, the rust was a factor in the Columbus game, but at the same time, you didn't see a whole lot of fight in terms of a team that fell behind early, and as a result they continue to play from behind, and it's just awfully hard to do. You just can't do it. So I thought it was really interesting how it was talked about, you know, how the Bruins have had this ability all season long during the regular season, in which that the Bruins, they start off slow, they pick it up, and then they'll turn on in the third period, and they would somehow, some way, they would just escape with the win. Remember the game against Minnesota? The game against Minnesota, which they were down 4-2, and they end up winning in overtime this past season, regular season, that is? Yes. That game is a prime example of that. Now, Anderson wrote in a column in which that I thought this was the most interesting part of that very point, in terms of the Bruins constantly during the season, at times, especially early in the season, they were constantly playing from behind only to come from behind and in some cases come back to win those games. He writes in his column, quote, and contrary to popular belief, these efforts are not uncommon to the Bruins. In fact, the sort of who was the Bruins were for the first 3 months of the season. They'd have a garbage period or two, then turn it on and escape with the win. It was a troubling trend back then, but it was buried by the constants that saved the Boston Bruins from countless losses. Those constants included the superhuman play of the Bergeron line. They scored 48% of the Boston Bruins' regular season goals, and the Bees' always reliable power play, and some all-world goaltending from the Rask-Halak combo. Those constants simply aren't there right now, and the results, or lack thereof, have predictably followed. So in a way, what you're seeing is a team that has always been who they were. And what is that team? A team that relies too much on that top line. The Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak line. Yes, we know that that line is without question the best line in hockey. But when that line accounts for 48% of the Bruins' regular season goals, that's nearly half of the goals the Bruins scored during the regular season, that's a problem. And in the playoffs, where you need goal scoring from all throughout your lineup, your second line, your third line, and your fourth line, guess what? That's not good enough. Especially when you're playing against superior defensive teams, superior physical teams. Heck, you saw that last year against the St. Louis Blues. Although the Blues pounded the Bruins through the ice, considering that they were red hot coming into the finals, the fact of the matter is that you needed, and I mean you absolutely needed, to absolutely get goal scoring and contributions from other parts of the lineup. And you weren't getting that. And that's the part that I found to be the most disheartening and the most concerning. Think about this. If the Bruins were to continue on this very streak, and I'm talking about the streak of you're getting goal scoring from your top line only and that's it, the Bruins are in trouble. They are in absolute trouble. Now, let's look at the goals, for example, in the game against Philadelphia. You go back to that game and you remember how the Bruins, up until that point, in the first two games they played, the game against Columbus and the game against the Philadelphia Flyers, they scored one goal each. Who were the goal scorers in that game? Anybody? I'll tell you. The Bruins in a game against Columbus, the only one who scored in that game, and it was a 3-1 loss for the Boston Bruins in that game. 4-1 loss, that is. Excuse me. The only one who scored was David Pastrnak. Again, top line. You got absolutely nothing from anyone else in that lineup. Fine. Okay. Fast forward to the game on Sunday against Philadelphia. And what was the score of that game? Bruins lost 4-1. And who was the only one that scored a goal in that game? Chris Wagner. And Chris Wagner, primarily, should I say, is a guy that you would normally find on that fourth line. That's it. And then you go to the game against Tampa Bay. Who were the two goal scorers for the Bruins? Charlie McAvoy. He was one. And then the other, also, don't forget, this was the first game that the Bruins scored more than one goal in. They scored two goals. The Bruins, they haven't gotten enough offensive continuity from any of its lines. And so that leads me to wonder, what line do you honestly think and believe is going to be the difference for the Bruins this time around? It was also Chris Wagner who scored that second goal. It was Chris Wagner and Charlie McAvoy who scored those two goals for the Bruins. And that was the part that, again, when your top line don't score, offense is pretty scarce to come by. And that's the part that worries me. And here's the other part that concerns me. The power play has done absolutely nothing up to this point. The power play for the Bruins, which has been absolutely terrific during the regular season, top five in the league. Now, mind you, Edmonton had the number one power play during the regular season. But less than a week into the bubble life, and Ty Edison makes this really great point, and this was the part that was the most telling to me, in which that he mentions the Bruins' power play is 0-7. And the only other playoff team with 7 or more power play opportunities and 0 goals is the Montreal Canadiens. And through three games, they're 0-10. You're getting nothing from your top line. You're getting nothing from your power play. So, again, the major question that I have for the Boston Bruins is this. Where has the offense gone? It has absolutely disappeared. And then some. So, how concerned are you for the Boston Bruins? And I really do think that it's imperative that the Bruins don't turn around, especially Bruin fans, don't put this all on the top line, and especially to what made the Bruins successful during the regular season. Which, by the way, if you really think about it, doesn't mean much of anything. The President's Trophy means nothing now. It means nothing considering that at the start of the playoffs, the Bruins won't even be the number one seed. That's gone. Kapoosh. Done. They can't finish no higher than the third, and if they lose tomorrow, guess what? They're finishing fourth. And who knows who their first-round opponent will be. And the thing is, on top of that, is that the Bruins have done a bad job, by and large part, of getting shots on goal. And that's something that you absolutely cannot carry with you into the playoffs and thinking that you're going to succeed with. And it's funny because I talked about earlier in the show, David Krejci. Anderson, Ty Anderson of 985thesportshub.com, he mentions about David Krejci. He wrote, quote, David Krejci needs to be better. It's been two games of Krejci looking like a step behind and unable to generate much of anything, even with new linemates and Nick Ritchie and Carson Kuhlman. That's the thing right there. You're not getting anything from Krejci. And then on top of that, Nick Ritchie and Carson Kuhlman have done absolutely nothing on that line. Absolutely nothing. So the thing that I honestly wonder is this. Where is the offense going to come from the Boston Bruins? And it cannot be from the top line only. It can't. Bruin fans, any ideas, any thoughts? Because I am genuinely at a point now where I'm beginning to reach and I'm beginning to really wonder if you are the Bruins and you're going into tomorrow's game against the Washington Capitals, what are some things that you're going to be looking for? Where's your offense going to come from? And I'm not talking about from the perfection line either. It's got to come from lines 2 through 4. Where's it going to come from? Is it going to come from Charlie Coyle? Is it going to come from David Krejci, who's been a non-factor? Is it going to come from Sean Corelli's line, the fourth line? That I wonder. And I've wondered that if Bruin fans are thinking the same thing as well. And I think they should be. Because we've seen more than enough now where, frankly, the Boston Bruins, they're too good offensively to be in this kind of a funk. It's not even just so much of a funk, considering that, okay, yeah, they were off 4.5 months, but we're past that at this point. We're at a point now where you want and you need to see results. Getting pucks behind the net. In net. And you need guys like Jake DeBrusk to step up. Because what he's done up to this point is not enough. Like, seriously. And if the Bruins are going to go anywhere, DeBrusk needs to be their third best winger, or heck, the second best forward.
And I think that's very fair to put on the bus, because frankly, listen, if there was ever a time that he needed to elevate his game, and it is now. The defense, I'm not necessarily as concerned about, but I'm going to be completely honest about Sedano Char. Char has definitely looked a bit slower than he usually has. I mean, listen, you are 4.5 months. Char, I mean, yes, he's always been one to do such a great job in terms of his conditioning and whatnot, so I'm not worried about the conditioning aspect. He has looked like an absolute slog. And that in itself is something that I can't help but to be concerned about. As to why is that? Why does he look slow? And it's not just him. I mean, the skating by and large part, it hasn't been troublesome or concerning. And I'm not putting the blame of the defense on Sedano Char whatsoever. But I've noticed that he's definitely a step behind, or a step slower, if you will. And I'm just bringing it to the attention and so forth. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears from talking about the Bruins to, I want to touch on a little bit about baseball, the Red Sox, and maybe sneak in some Celtics as well. That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Test free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
To Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
Love the 80s, but tired of the usual hits? Satisfy your 80s fix with DJ Savoir Faire on Songs from the Squid Pod, Friday nights at 10 p.m.
This is a great social opportunity for us. Come on!
I think I'm nearly found you.
Meet me in downbeats, titillate your 80s chakra, and exhale through your inner garage. Songs from the Squid Pod with
my name is
Savoir. Friday nights at 10 p.m.
It's a date. It's a scam. Whatever. All right.
Only on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford.
This is Ron LaRussa. Join me Thursday mornings here on WMFO for Rock of Ages. We play the best rock from all eras, including classic rock from the 70s, rock and new wave from the 80s,
father of mine,
alt rock from the 90s, and pop rock from the 2000s and today. Just the best rock from whenever. On Rock of Ages, Thursday mornings here at 91.5 FM, WMFO.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Too much of heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven, a life is so hell.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. I'm glad you're able to join the show on this Saturday afternoon, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. There was something that happened this week I actually want to touch on during this segment, and I thought it really would be befitting that I would have the opportunity to talk about it in great length, and that is the events that took place with NBC Sports Boston this past week. Now, in case if you haven't heard, there was about dozens of employees that received notice that they were being either being laid off or they were being placed on furlough this past week from NBC Sports Boston. And it really is a disheartening story in the situation. On Monday and Tuesday, it was announced that NBC Sports Boston had laid off nearly 20 on-air production and other behind-the-scenes staffers, which included longtime anchor Gary Tanguay, Celtics sideline reporter Abby Chin, and Celtics reporter A. Sherrod Blakely. And those who watched the Boston Celtics telecast on NBC Sports Boston locally, it's definitely an eye-opener, considering that those two, in particular, Abby Chin and Mr. Blakely, are mainstays on the network, and especially in terms of the Celtics coverage. But also not to forget Bruins reporter Joe Haggerty, who also works for the network for NBC Sports Boston, well known for his coverage, his terrific, outstanding coverage of the Boston Bruins, was also confirmed to have been let go alongside with host Daniel Trotta as well. So it was definitely a very gut-wrenching news that came out of the network this week. And as I mentioned, my sympathy goes out to all of those who have been informed that they're going to be losing their jobs, and especially during a time in which that there is so much uncertainty and so much uncertainty in terms of what's going to happen next in terms of the pandemic and the future that it holds and so forth. I'm sending you positive thoughts, positive vibes your direction in hopes that something good will come from this. Now, I want to have the opportunity to talk about the Boston Red Sox, in which that I haven't had a whole, an opportunity to really talk about it at great length this week or even last week because of, you know, the Bruins returning back to play, and I want to spend a lot of time with it, but I just want to sneak in a Red Sox thought in just a moment, and that is the Red Sox, they're at a point now where I think it's pretty abundantly clear that, one, the Red Sox are at a point where they have to look ahead to 2021, what are they going to do? Because at this point, although they won on Thursday night 5-0 over the Tampa Bay Rays, and it was an impressive win in which that you got length out of your starter, you know, Martin Perez gave you 5 solid innings and so forth. You know, Alex Verdugo went deep, Michael Chavis went deep, and whatnot. So you have a good young nucleus for the Red Sox that you can build around for years to come, which obviously includes, you know, Jackie Bradley, Xander Bogaerts, and whatnot. Especially, I mean, JD Martinez, I mean, he's the veteran, quote unquote, but the pitching still is a point of concern for me looking at this team, you know, big picture. And I think that it's important for Red Sox fans, and I'm sure all of you know this, especially looking at the not only the short term but the long term, and that is that the Red Sox are in a position now where I think it's imperative that they really look to stockpile arms for like the farm system. And especially with the trade deadline coming up later this month, I think it's going to be important that the Red Sox will look to buy, not in a sense of, you know, like trying to make the postseason, but rather, you know, like the importance of trying to stockpile on draft picks. And that in itself is important. And I've talked about this in the past, how the Red Sox, they are basically barren in terms of, you know, like legitimate prospects that they can call up and that can be a big contributor to the big league, you know, roster and so forth. And I think it's important that, you know, like Chaim Bloom doesn't just throw away the 2020 season, but rather use it as an opportunity to build for the next year and 2 years and so forth. Because the Red Sox, they have question marks that they're going to need to absolutely answer. I think it's important that the Red Sox have that honest conversation internally, especially to the front office, especially the ownership group. I mean, the ownership group, I don't have a whole lot of trust in, especially after what happened this past winter in terms of, you know, trading away Mookie Betts in a way that how that unfolded and so forth. I mean, David Price was also included in that deal. But at the same time, I definitely think that it's important that the Red Sox have an honest discussion internally in terms of what's the plan moving forward. What is the plan going to look like for the next 2 years, 3 years, for the fact of the matter? So that remains to be seen. Coming up next, I want to share with you some final thoughts on what has been an eventful week for me personally, and I'll get into it with some details and so forth. Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
Brighter than the sun.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I am going to start the final segment of the show called Final Thoughts. And it's brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Writes, at 91.5 FM WMFO. Now, this past week has been an eventful week. Now, if you may recall, last Saturday I had announced that I was going to be launching a brand new weekday online radio show called the Hot Corner for Full Press Coverage Radio Network. That did not happen because I had a second anxiety attack within the last month and a half, and as a result it forced me to have a real honest self-assessment of where was I mentally, how am I doing mentally, how am I coping with everything that's been going on in the world right now and around us. And I think it was imperative that I really talk about what's going on, like, mentally. And normally, and by and large part, I'm not one that gets very personal on this radio show, but this was something that I really feel strongly that I need to talk about candidly, especially considering that we live in times in which that not only that is very stressful, but also where mental health is something that's not really talked about in the manner and the way that it should. And that I'm here today because of the fact of the support that I've gotten from so many people across to, you know, take my time and take care of myself. And more and most importantly, just the love and the support that I felt throughout this whole week has been nothing less than incredible. And I just want to say thank you to those who have reached out on Twitter, that have called me, that have texted me, you know, far and in between. And it's something that I am extremely appreciative of. And I want to have the opportunity to, you know, just to reflect on, you know, the journey that has been, the week that has been. You know, the Bruins definitely have had a large part to do with, you know, just trying to find myself again and to get back to my old self in more ways than one. No way, shape, and form has this been easy for me at all. And it really hasn't. You know, I've spent a lot of time alone, like by myself in general over the last several years, but especially during this pandemic where it really hasn't been the easiest for me at all. And not even just so much in terms of, you know, lack of sports, but just, you know, just not having seen my family in about 8 months now and so forth and whatnot. So that in itself hasn't been the easiest on me. I didn't realize how much of an impact that it was having on me until about a week ago, where I realized that, yeah, it's definitely having some sort of an impact. But I want to wrap up the show on this positive note by saying the following, that I really sincerely hope and pray from the bottom of my heart that anyone who's dealing with anxiety or depression, especially during this pandemic and during these times, reach out, talk to someone close to you or that you trust and that you love. And most importantly, don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to be open to talk about what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And most importantly, I want you to know that you are not alone in this battle. So if you're going through something or dealing with some things, I want you all to stay safe and also stay strong, and don't be afraid to reach out if you need help. That'll do it today for the Shukri Write Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Hope all of you have a great Saturday, and I look forward to talking with you next Saturday in regards to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll talk to you then. Stay safe and healthy. Peace out.